right. Well, welcome to another Uncommon Podcast. I am TJ. This is Renika. This is Uncommon, and so are you. I want to welcome Renika to our podcast. This is her first time taking part in one of these things. I don't know if I appreciate her more for doing this or more for what she brings to this session, because we don't always get a viewpoint from the female side often. We've had a few articles written in the past, but Renika brings a really unique perspective to Uncommon. And so she has written a devotion for us, and I see more things in the future. And so, Renika, I wanted to welcome you to the Uncommon podcast.
Thanks, TJ, for having me. It's my honor. I'm excited.
All right on. Well, when we started talking about doing this podcast, and I was searching for some things to talk about, I always keep a list of topics every time I'm at church on Sundays. I'm always taking notes for myself, but also for Uncommon. And this week, we're going to focus on while the master is gone, while the master is away. And a little bit of around that topic of when the parable about leaving the tenants with the servants. But in this case, we're going to talk about while the master's gone, what do we do with our resources? And so before we get going, was there anything that stood out to you on this topic right from the rip, Renika?
Well, just in you talking, just the reminder of like there's somewhere where we're going. Like this is not it. So just the mere fact that in this topic it's pointing to something greater. Like there's somewhere that we're going. So how are we gonna use this time? So that's just as you're talking, I'm like, all right, here we go. There's a place we're going.
Exactly. Well, so in this case here, we're talking about four things we can do with our resources. Many times we may not think we have resources because we always attach that to money, but it's rarely about money. And so we're exploring how we can use resources that God has given us to use wisely as we await for Jesus' return. And so we're going to be looking at four key ways. Some of them are going to step on toes. Some of them may challenge. Hopefully, it will be encourage. And so one of them is hoarding. I can see right off the rip, people are like, oh, come on. Yes, hoarding, how we spend our money or our resources, how we waste our resources, and how we invest our resources. And so we're going to take a look at that today. And so in our first segment, this one's around the misuse of resources. And so we always do a little bit of did you know? And so many of us fall in the trap of misusing our resources, either by maybe hoarding our resources because we don't think they're maybe valuable enough, or they're so valuable we don't want to share them, right? We may spend a little recklessly. We may waste them altogether. But these actions are not only hindering our spiritual growth, but also prevent us from fulfilling, I think, God's purpose in our lives. And so I believe that every person who's a believer has been gifted a spiritual gift, and it's our duty to one, find out what that is, and then use it to the best of ability to bring God glory. So I'll start off and then I'll stop talking so we can hear from the smart person in the room. I never came from money. My parents were very low income, and so hoarding money, that was not a topic that entered my thoughts. When I first started dating my now wife of almost 40 years, when she had a part-time job, I was at her house one day and she had all these uncashed checks on her dresser. Uncashed checks. Even me saying that word now just does not compute. It just could not wrap my head around uncashed checks. And so I probably fell into the trap of, because I didn't have a lot of resources, again, me tying that to money, as you can already hear it, I did a poor job of budgeting. I was never like in debt, but I never really prioritized how to organize my resources until I got a little bit older. And so I think it's important for us to recognize that as early as possible that we do have resources and how we can use it. So, Renika, let's share something with you.
So mine the same, didn't come from money. I mean, where I'm from, grew up like right outside of New Orleans, and so it was evident that I definitely did not live in a neighborhood where it had money. It was kind of the overall, like, listen, we do not have money. So yeah, but it was confusing though, because then there would be these times where, oh, we have a lump sum of money. And we would go from, okay, we have to eat this week because that's what we have to eat. But then there's a lump sum of money, but then there's like new things in the house. So we do have money and then we don't. And then it'll be back to, we don't have money. We have to. And so money became this very confusing thing to me. And so I erred on the side of hoarding, right? Because we might not have this next week, so
Sure.
hold on to it. And so also imagine my temptation as well now, now being a single mother of five. So that temptation there sends me back to of like, hold up, hold up, hold up. So
Right.
if I were to have to choose just from my upbringing, my default, if I'm not on top of it, is hoard. Hold on. So that's kind of my upbringing.
Sure. And I think that everybody can relate to that. We are very materialistic, right? Especially in the United States. I mean, it's the watch you wear, the shoes you wear, the car, the house, all these things, these status symbols mean something, especially to our ego, that someone else sees us a certain way. And so our challenge is to kind of, are we holding on to our resources out of fear instead of trusting in God's provision? And so I think that as we look at what we're hoarding, whether it be our time, not willing to volunteer or serve in the community, our emotions, our availability, our talents. I mean, there are people listening to this podcast that are far more qualified to lead a ministry than myself. And I hope that you are doing something like that in your world. But many of us don't feel we may have enough qualifications. And so I think hoarding is one of those things that we may tie to financial, but I do think that it can be applied to our time and our efforts and our availability and our emotions and all these things that we don't fully give to God to be used.
That's good. That's good.
So our next one in this segment is how do we spend our resources? And so you have those who like they keep it close, right? And then we have some that look, get out of my way, Jack. Give me that microphone. I got things to say, right? So our lesson, right? Do we recklessly use our resources? Do we often driven by our desire for maybe instant gratification or being in the spotlight? I mean, in the day and age of social media, there are more social media millionaires than you can shake a stick at. And so I'm on TikTok a fair amount. I like the bite-size format, tailor my thread. It's usually around food, sports, business, faith, I mean, something like that, music kind of thing. And but every once in a while, some millionaire will run across my timeline with a new way to become a millionaire. And so, how did you find that you spent some of your resources, Renika?
Yeah, so if we're talking about financially, right? You think of it's for me, as I talked about the hoarder mentality, right? It's difficult to spend. And so sometimes I would try to offset that hoarding by, right? You have to spend sometimes, you have to do something
Right.
sometimes, right? And then for someone like me, it's like, well, what do you spend it on? You know,
Do
out
you
of it. How do you do this? You take care of your needs, and then what else is after that? And so I really started to think about, you know, God has always covered our needs and provided for us. So what does it look like to spend outside of that and thinking about investments, right? So for the next thing that I think of, our needs covered. And then next, I say, what is the next investment for us? It's really important to me, and a value for me is family. And what I leave here when I'm not here, right? And so I invest in memories. Like, what is the thing that's going to be fun for us that we have memories in? Where should that money go where we spend memories? Is it going to see, I don't know, this play that we've been wanting to see that's based on a book that we've talked about? Like, where do I invest the time to create memories, things that will last beyond us being here? And then when you talk about time, you know, that simple part of me, I'm telling you, when you talk about time, it's like, well, what do you mean time? I have my own family. I'm a single mother of five. I'm investing in them. But
Right.
what I feel, it's such a, for me, such a selfish way to think, because I'm not rearing my family by myself. Like, we are in such a great community that are pouring in their time to us. And so there are ways that I can do that, right? And just for people who are listening, who are like, how do I have the time to do it when I need to take care of my own family? And I'm thinking about other people, right? But God has placed us in positions, right? So I'm a mom of five. So if my friend needs babysitting, guess what? I'm probably one of your best people to do that. I have kids all ages.
Bring them on over.
Right. I have the sippy cups you need from when they were little. Do you need, you know, I have older kids. And so it's God also creating those opportunities for us as we look where we can invest and we can help other people, no matter how much we say, well, my hands are tied. I can't do this because I'm occupied with my own life and my own business, right? Which I think is really, really easy for us to do in this country, and here to say, but I have my own thing going. But we really, God has really given us, I believe, no matter what stage of life we're in, a way that we can help other people, which doesn't just mean I have to donate here, but what stage of life are you in, and how has God opened the doors to allow other people to come in and for you to invest in other people? So.
I love that. We've always served where our children have been in, say, church,
Yeah.
coaching rec league, teaching Sunday school, whatever, but also outside of the church, we've always served in the community together.
Yeah.
So our boys have seen the cardboard box towns behind Walmart that people never even think about. So,
Yeah.
thinking about how we spend our time is a great way to think about spending, because money is too easy to say, well, I just can't afford that, right? And I heard an old preacher say back when, you could tell it's an old statement, because he would say, show me a checkbook and I'll show you your heart, right? Like, you're writing checks back in the day, for all those out there younger than like 20, these little paper rectangles would be checks you'd write, right? But you'd write your checks to things that you supported or were interested in or wanted. How much of that went to furthering God's kingdom?
Yeah,
So,
absolutely. That's good.
yeah. So as we reflect on our spending habits, again, not just about money, are they in line with God's will? Because it's going to come a time when he comes back and says, what have you been doing with the resources, the gifts that I've given you, kind of thing. And so that leads us to our next one, is waste. Are we wasting resources? Are we wasting time, money, talents? Are we missing an opportunity to glorify God and serve others? There's never someone who does not need someone else to serve them. I mean, there's always be someone in need of something, whether it be some money in the community, or someone in church, or someone in your family. There's always going to be someone who needs some help, but how are we investing with that? And are we wasting our time? I got to say, I complete guilty on this here. NFL season just started. You see the Saints gear, see the Saints gear there kind of thing. I mean, Sunday afternoons, look, I spend time on the sofa watching some football. 6 days a week, I'm at people's disposal with business and work and family and all the activities. But Sundays, I do spend time on the sofa watching football. If you wanted to split hairs, yes, I could be doing something else at that time because it's probably not just on Sundays. It's now football season, like what, Monday and Thursday, Saturday, and all that kind of stuff. So, do you, and I think we all know how we waste our time. I myself, like I said, would be around football season. I spend some time. So this year, we made an effort to, like, after the Saints game, we got up, we went for an hour walk to enjoy some weather. Ran some errands. It wasn't like a consecutive, like, I'm gonna sit on the sofa like a lump for the next 7 hours. So, is there some place in your life that you've identified, Renika, that is a bit of a waste? Like, I said, am I really kind of wasting time there?
And if I'm gonna be honest, right, the way I would lie to myself is, but I deserve this moment to sit here and scroll. What are you talking about?
Right. Sure. I'm not
Not
going to
a
be
waste,
on.
DJ. What are you talking about? I need this break. But yeah, there are definitely those times where I'm scrolling on the phone, or I'm just whatever it is. But I want to talk about because I just met with a friend before we got on, and we were literally talking about resources, and but we are both artists. And we were talking about using our gifts as artists and how there are some times where I act like this gift is my own, where I'm like, oh yeah, I can go and I can do this, or nah, not today. I don't feel like, where are we actually investing in what God has placed into us? At the beginning of a conversation, we're talking about how finances, all this conversation points to one place. It points to us one day being with the king, right? How are we spending this time right now? All the things that we do. And that includes our gifts. It includes our talents, which I think all lead to the Lord, all lead to God. And especially in Christianity, I believe that we should do things well. And not just because we are Christians, so we should do things well. It should be done great. But I believe that when we are operating so giftedly and talentedly in our gifts, that it shows people that there's no way we could be doing that in our own power. We have to be partnering with something and someone that's greater than us, right? And so to not use our gifts, to not invest in that, I think is a waste. Like I really do. And I'm calling myself out. Like, so if I'm a poet, to not spend time writing or to not do that, not being, legalistic about it, but also not being flippant as if, I can use it when I want, but really investing in who God has created us to do, because all these things ultimately point to who he is, which is what we want, right? We want all things to point to him. We want people to know him. We want in our lives and the way that we live, move, and have our being to all point to him. So yeah, that's me calling me out and artists, because you are important.
Exactly. And I think that everybody has some gift that they could tap into and use for God's glory. And if you don't cultivate that, it's kind of like working a muscle. I think in our world, we kind of always tell, like, Dana's like, I'm not creative. I said, creativity is a muscle that needs to be exercised. The more you try to be creative, the more creative you will be. I went to school for computer programming. How boring of a thing for me to choose. I took the long way around the mountain and wound up eventually starting my own agency and doing something like this that taps into my creative side. and marries it with my faith. And so if you're not trying to use or find your resources, your gifts, and use those wisely, it's going to be challenging for you to grow. You're going to feel stunted and kind of secluded, and I think it's going to really affect your walk. I really think that we're not using our God-given gifts. There is a bit of a kind of an isolation there, you know, because you're like, well, if I'm meant to be a poet and I'm not doing that, there's frustration there. It's like I'm looking for an outlet and I can't find it. So I do think that so our scripture piece here is Proverbs 21:20. The wise store up choice food and olive oil, but the food gulps theirs down. I think there's a way for us to be wise in our resources. And obviously, you can see that there's a way for us to be kind of foolish with our resources as well. And I say ours, I mean God's. So, as we close on this first segment, I want to mention to our audience that the Uncommon membership, which just expanded recently. So September 1st, we wound up doing our all access adjustment to our memberships, and they offer a ton of resources to help you discover where you should be spending your time, talents, and treasures. And so check that out at uncommon.org and stay tuned for our sponsors around the corner.
Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Studio 490 Digital Marketing. Elevate your business with Studio 490. Our expert team offers tailor web design, SEO, Google Ads, and social media management. Visit studio490.com because your success story starts today.
All right, welcome back to our podcast on While the Master's Gone. And so our next segment, I think we wanted to focus here on the call to invest wisely. So our, did you know in this section here, investing is more than just money. It's about how we place our time, energy, and talents. And the Bible teaches us to invest in ways that bear fruit for God's kingdom. You know, talking about the fruits of the Spirit, you can see that there are fruits of the Spirit to be had for each believer. And if you're not experiencing those fruits of the Spirit, spend time learning what they are and then starting to grow in them. And so when I began to invest my time and resources into this ministry, serving others, I saw that God had multiplied those efforts in a way, and in a very odd way. You know, I remember my dad saying years ago, "Well, you should just start your own business." And I was like, do you know what goes in starting a business? This is crazy. I had a job back in, this was actually in Arizona after Katrina. And then so after coming back from Arizona to here in Charlotte, that's when we started the business, started a studio. And then that led to us partnering with Uncommon when they first started off with some of their branding development and that kind of thing. And that led to them approaching me about taking the lead role in Uncommon. And so that gave us a platform to really use some of the resources and talents that we had, God had been developing in me for the last goodness, 25, 30 years. I came to Christ in 95. And so you can kind of see it. If you don't pursue or open yourself to God growing your talents, and recognizing that, you'll have a hard time investing your time and efforts using those talents. You'll always feel that, well, I don't have anything to offer. And so I think it's important for us to recognize in ourselves and to use those wisely.
Yeah, that's good.
What you got here, Renika? I see a quote.
Yeah, so that sparked a whole bunch for me, right? When we talk about investing, right? So obviously that's financial investment, which we know, and then you put it in there, you invest it, and that thing grows over time, right? We know that part. But also for me, so I had to, you know, I went to scripture. I was like, okay, these are some of my favorites, because this is literally how I live my life, right? We know I'm bringing it up. I'm bringing up scriptures here. So we know the one that the Bible talks about, like leaving an inheritance, right? And so Proverbs 13 and 22, good people leave an inheritance to their grandchildren. And there's different translations of that. And that is how I think. I'm always like, okay, I have these kids, but doesn't just say you leave an inheritance to your kids. It's talking about your grandkids, which makes me think it's talking about people all down the line that you might not even ever see, right? And then I was looking at this other one where we talk about investments. I really believe the greatest investment we can make is investing just in God's word, allowing God's word to be in us and allowing that to grow so that we can give it to other people, right? And so the immediate people that I give it to, that I keep talking about, is my children, right? Who are around me, who I hope, who are even now and one day will. That investment will grow and they will continue to pass it on. That is my hope. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 11. Just bear with me. I'm gonna read it if that's okay. I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. And verse 10 says, because of God's grace to me, I've laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. And so that is like the scripture of like, okay, God. This is what we're talking about. So immediately when we were talking about this is the verse that came up when we talking about investment and I'm talking about, having all these kids. I'm like, oh my God, all I'm doing, just invest, just deposit. Like these are the things that we cannot see. These are the things that last forever. And there is no end to them. There's no end to that type of investment and investing in watering people, not just your kids, but the people around you, and watch the Lord make it grow as He will. And so when we talk about investments, that was top of my list, that scripture. I'm like, this is the scripture that is the foundation for me and my family. And what I'm leaving is when we walk along the roadside, here in Charlotte, North Carolina, my favorite thing is the skies here. Like it's just the fade. So I came from Pittsburgh to here. Pittsburgh is very overcast. And then I'm like, oh, I love the skies here. So when we're walking along the road, right, I'm walking with one of my kids. Guess where I'm pointing? I'm pointing to the sky. And who made that sky? The Lord made that sky. And those little things are my investment in my children of like, let's point to the one who made it to where we're going. And so, yeah, as we water, right, we pour and we invest into people and not getting obsessed with being the savior to make it grow and make them, but just that investment and watching God grow. Or maybe we won't even be here to see it grow, but we made the investment there. And those eternal investments, I think that is what we should be, quote unquote, obsessed with in this world of social media where you have the $1 million TikToker coming across. It's like, wait, how do I make $1 million? Wait, how do I? And
Apparently, it's easy.
in so
Apparently.
many directions where I'm like, I'm trying to click two and see what, but wait, what is this?
What
So
you doing?
but what does it look like to have that same tenacity for the investments that are not tangible, but we know that we are pouring in the things that we cannot see, but they are yet eternal. So
Well, as a little sidebar of that is a little bit of a challenge for everybody out there, is that if you don't water and invest in your children, someone else will. And it's going to be the world, probably for sure, that influences and tries to push and nudge your children into something that may not be of God. So I love that you turn this to investing in your family, because that's huge. Because that is that eternal one, that legacy of my kids are going to have kids. And already, well, my youngest son already has three, and so they've already been, teaching the kids Bible scripture already. One's four, three, and one. And so they're already doing, scripted memory, that kind of thing. So that's great. That's something that has now started. Thankfully, we came to Christ, pouring into our children. Now it's into our grandchildren. And so if you don't do that, you could be impacting your grandchildren and not even know it.
The grandchildren and not even know it. I feel the need to add this part, TJ, for people who might be, a single father or a single mother like me, right? When we talk about that investment, I do like how the verse says, let's see. It's not important who does the planting, who does the watering. Okay, God makes it grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose. I do like how it's bringing someone else in this, right? It's not
Sure.
just saying I do the watering, I do, but like there are other people that can get in your community to come alongside you, to walk with your children, to walk with you in this whole watering and planning. Like we don't have to do this alone. So I love that part of it as well.
Mean, guys, we have our boxes, right? We have our, there's a great book that Dana and I did a marriage study on called Men Are Like Waffles, Women Are Like Spaghetti. And it's a great book. We've read it a few times. And guys get in boxes. And that right there is something that, like, we got this. You see that guy riding down the road with his arm out the window on the mattress, driving, right? That's a guy. That's a guy. I got this. Am I gonna ask for help? Can I borrow your truck? No. I've got this on my Prius. And I got don't worry about it, So I think it's great for us to realize that there are people around us that that person may have gone through something that you'd benefit from hearing, or your kids too. So it's great to tap into the body of Christ, right? So now you have in the notes here a
What I
Mr.
have.
Rogers quote. And I'm dying to hear this Mr. Rogers quote. I don't see it in here.
Okay, so I have, you can't see it here, but I have a whiteboard up here, and there's a the quote by Mr. Rogers that says, "The greatest gift you could ever give your children is your presence." So it's just a reminder of showing up, of being in that place, but not just showing up. Like it's really huge for me to look at my kids in the eyes, they talk and do all this. Like, I want to see, I need to
I
be
hear, I hear.
present. So, yeah, it's the greatest gift that you could give your kids, or I guess one of the greatest investments, right, that you can put in into your children is giving them your presence and by being there. So it just made me think of that, I guess. Like, it's a great reminder for me when when I'm out here as a mom, I'll do this analogy, right? Trying to spend on all the other things, spending my energy here. Let me put together the perfect lunch. Let me do the where it said, just your presence. Just let that be a gift. Don't be out here spending yourself crazy, spending like crazy on things you don't need to do. Just go ahead and give that gift of your presence. So
We
yeah.
always make it more complicated, right? Because I think with complication comes ex excuses and opportunity to, well, that's hard. I can't do that. I can't do that. So actually, we can. We can. So some of the notes we took in here was responsibility. Investing in God's kingdom means using our resources wisely for his glory. A response, we're called to take action with what we've been given, not to sit idly by. And reckoning, one day we'll give an account of how we've used God's resources. And so some of the lessons that come out of this is we have to work until Jesus returns. God has given each of us unique resources and gifts. And if you have not ever heard Renika speak, Renika, here's your plug. Give us your URL and a little bit about what you do.
Absolutely. So I have my own business. It's called Renika Speaks, where I do a lot of my keynoting. And now I'm doing more facilitation work where a lot of people will call me in to have difficult discussions around topics, but in a way that really brings people together. And some of those are faith-based by bringing people together, but also how we glorify God in this one that's coming up for me that I'm going to do is Christians engaging politics, right? I'm not in politics like that, but it's how do we have this conversation through this aspect of we are Christians in the world and how do we have this in a way that is loving and honoring and God-centered. And so that's what I do, a lot of keynoting there. Renika Speaks is my website, and yeah, I enjoy it. I love what I do. So there's the
I would highly recommend you go visit that website. God does not call us to do things we cannot accomplish. God knows our limits and equips us for the tasks he sets before us. I'm looking right at you, Moses, with your talking. But he had a whole list. He had a whole list going. I can't do that. Can't do this. And God was ready for it, right? I brought Aaron to help you along, kind of thing. So do something with what we have. Even small investments can yield significant returns in God's kingdom. Now, I think just being willing instruments is the first step. And so here you wrote a little bit of about being an artist.
Which I kind of mentioned before, but I want to say this when you were going over the points, one of them you said is one day we will give an account of how we've used our resources. And I'm in this whole thing of studying God and his love and like what a great and amazing God he is and how much he loves us, right? I kind of grew up with like, oh my God, God is scary. But like this sacrifice, the center of the gospel is nothing but pure love. And so I used to would read, one day we would give an account of how we've used our resources. Oh my God, how am I doing? Let me scramble to do this. But also to rethink that and find the joy of doing what God has called you to do, right? Not out of, oh my God, I got to do this and check the list, but also God has joy in that for us. And the way we use our resources and the way that we use our talents is not, this whip of you got to use it and don't, but God is so good and he is so loving. It has been that way from the beginning, right? Because he has always wanted that for us to be with him. That is the center of the gospel, right? That we as sinners get to be with this God who would want us to enjoy that, to enjoy him. And also think in that process of us talking about investing and where we invest. Because for me, sometimes it can feel like a burden, but I don't think it should be this burdensome thing for us. But how do we find joy in the way that we invest and where we put our time and where we decide to do that? Not see it as a burden, but as an extension of God's love to us.
I love that the fruits of the Spirit. So Galatians 5, 22, 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. The very first one, love. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Man, that's a whole lot of awesome right there. It's not like, I need you to pick up 100 pounds, TJ. I need you to, the fruit of the Spirit are beautiful list of great and wonderful things, right? And so, yeah, you're right. That accountability is a good thing because it's centered around love, right? For God so loved the world, right? So let's see. Our challenge here is about investing our resources. Are we planting seeds that will grow and bear fruit for eternity? That here we are talking about Mr. Rogers. He's gone back when I was a kid. Now, decades later, he's still showing up on whiteboards near you. How awesome is that? So our scripture reflection here is Matthew 25, 21. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share the master's happiness." How beautiful is that? I think that some of the resources we have around on Uncommon, one of them is you read about Apollos planting the seed. That's Paul talking to a church about different roles, kind of thing. There is a devotion or two about those that topic. One of them is called soil, around the parable around the sower. kind of thing. So if you have not got a chance to see some of our devotions, I would highly recommend that at uncommon.org. I think we have over 80. And soon to be, Renika has written one for us that we are submitting, actually, I think this week to YouVersion. And so we'll have one more to the pile. So be sure to check that out and also stay tuned for our sponsors right ahead.
Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Wilson Technology Group. At Wilson Technology Group, we're not just an IT vendor. We're your trusted business partner delivering exceptional support, innovative solutions, and peace of mind. One call, one team, all your tech issues resolved.
All right, welcome back to While the Master's Gone. We've completed two of the three segments. This one is for just final thoughts and encouragement. I know that this could be a kind of a heavy topic and a little bit challenging if you are maybe a procrastinator or a little bit shy, an introvert, a new Christian. Maybe you've had a little bit of church hurt, you know. This may feel like a heavy topic and like, I don't want to hear that. I just want to give you encouragement to start somewhere, right? And so effective stewardship is about being intentional with everything we've been given, including our time, talents, and resources. And it's not just about avoiding or wasting, but about actively investing in what matters most. And so if you find that you're having a hard time struggling, get in prayer, get in God's word, and find a time to spend seeking God's will around what he would like you to start doing. Because everybody had to start doing something. And our starting point was vastly different. It always didn't happen in church. Paul happened on the road to Damascus. Moses happened at the mountaintop. I mean, there was a, you know, Daniel was in the field with the sheep. There's a bunch of different starting points. So let's see. So let's see. I've seen people invest their time, talent, treasures in things that align with God's heart. And I've seen some that do not. And sometimes it's challenging to see the difference. You know, those TikTok millionaires, they look like they got it going on, man. That guy that drives by in that, you know, brand new Corvette or whatever. You're like, man, what am I not doing? That may be their only reward, is that it's earthly, not eternal. And so it's important to keep those two distinguished and separate and know that what we're talking about here is an eternal investment, an eternal reward. So Renika, what are some of the things that you've kind of pulled out of this so far that you've kind of felt that these are lessons that you may be able to apply to yourself?
Yeah. Well, as you were talking, I just wrote some notes too. And one of the words I wrote is trust, right? And having our hands open as you're talking. And I'm like, we've gone through this. I'm like, this requires a lot of trust. Like whether you're hoarding or spending or somewhere in between or not, like it really requires a turning over of what we know, what we've grown up with, of what we think of Instagram and TikTok. And it's a turning over of all those things to say, God, how do I trust you in this? How do I trust you in my fears? How do I trust you in my spending? How do I trust that you take care of me? You know, that's one of my biggest questions as a single mom. How do I trust that? And, you know, there's so many points in his word where, you know, we talk about the Israelites, we talk about all the things, and God is like, have you not seen? Like he lived, do you not remember, right? Always remembering that what God has done in the past, he always calls us to do that. And then of course, the one that, you know, I'm always reading with my kids. I love how the like children's Bible does it, but talks about, do you not see that God has clothed the flowers? Do you not see that he's fed the birds? And me and my kids were just talking about like looking at a bird's nest. Have you seen like how perfectly circle it is and like how amazing they build their homes? And if God is taking care of them in the way that he takes care of them, those things that can be thrown away, how much greater has he done that for us, his children? And so just trusting God that what he's done in the past, he can do before, and that he holds us and he actually has us. So this is a reminder for me as I'm talking, I'm reminding myself. And then I made this quick note of how we talked about hoarding. One of the, I'll say, I don't know, hardest things, but I have to sit down and do a budget. Like, I have to sit in front of it. I have to see it. And because of my mentality, you know, there's some people, oh, let me just round up or round down. I have to get the cents and all. I need every little, I need to know exactly what it is. I know I'm that person.
Sure.
But I don't enjoy sitting down doing it because it's like, oh man, you know, it's that thing from the past that comes up on me. But then also, I find so much gratitude and so much joy, not in like, oh my gosh, look at all this or that's what's here, is that God is faithful. And our finances, you know, finance is just one way that displays that, but you can go from thing to thing, from experience to experience, and see the faithfulness of God. And so even in those things that are difficult for us, that there is always a gift of gratitude inside of that. And so that came to mind. And then the last thing that I wrote down here is remember the goal. And what comes to mind is like fight that good fight, that there is a place, as we started, that we are going to, that there is a place where this will be done. You're talking about your grandkids, TJ. I have kids, that there will be a time, and there is a place that is inevitable, right? That we are reaching to God's kingdom, and his kingdom will come, right? And so for us to remember to continue to fight the good fight in that, and that the ways that we are investing here, they're not for nothing. It's not in vain. And the things that we cannot see are the greatest investments and treasures that we can make, even though there's so many things tempting us and pulling us here and pulling us that way. And in that, God has not allowed us to do this alone, that there are temptations. There are things that will make us forget the goal. There are things that will make us think, oh, I'm just doing this earthly living. It will make us forget that there is a place after this, and so that we don't have to do it alone, that we can do it together in community, and that to continue to fight the good fight because there is a place that we are going. So that's all that comes to mind.
You can see why I had her on the show. I love that the word the gratitude thing, because I know people, and it's been me as well, that I'm gonna buy that thing, right? And then there's no joy in it, right? There's just temporary, like, oh, okay, I got this now. Oh, look at that shiny thing. You know, we move on to the next thing. And that's how you can tell that maybe that may not be what God has in store for us, you know, that there's fulfillment when we're serving God, right? And so I love that gratitude angle. You know, intentional living. Being a faithful steward means making deliberate choices. And God's faithfulness is, you know, when we invest in God's kingdom, he's faithful to maybe multiply those efforts in ways that we cannot see. We won't see. But, you know, what my grandkids do or what my grandkids' kids do, I won't see. But I'm impacting that. Yeah. So as we kind of start to land this plane a little bit, as you go about your week, take a moment to reflect on how you're using the resources that God has given us. Are you, or are we, or TJ, are you hoarding, spending, wasting, investing? What steps can we take to ensure we're making the most of what we've been entrusted with? And our scripture reflection on this segment is 2 Corinthians 9, 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly also reaps sparingly, and whoever sows generously reaps generously. So, as you can see, we have a bigger calling than just what's right in front of us. You know, that call, that great commission is always in present tense. And so, if you want to hear more about some of this kind of content, be sure to visit uncommon.org. We have a ton of content ranging from devotions, originals, master classes, workbooks, all kinds of stuff around men's topics. Obviously, today, this is about a us topic, both men, women. And so I think that we can all benefit from this topic. And so, Renika, you have any last words for us?
Just that I know that we're doing this together, but this was good for my heart to do this with someone else, another believer, and really reevaluate, right? Where am I investing? And that we don't need to beat ourselves up about it. Like, if we're not doing what we should, but like you said, this is a start where you are. And this has been so good for my heart. So thank you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. We have a great outro. We always quote it. If you're going to be something, be uncommon.